everyone, I'm Margaret Gray, and welcome to the world of Phil Hendry.
I'm Bud Dickman.
And I'm General Galen Shaw.
That's Robert Leonard, too.
Thank you very much, and I am Phil Hendry. This is the world of Phil Hendry.
And welcome again to the world of Phil Hendry. I wanted to just parenthetically...
Come, wrap around.
What a wrap it around. Welcome to the world of Phil Hendry. And then you say, I'm Phil Hendry. And then I say, and welcome again to the world of Phil Hendry.
Why would I do that?
Please don't comment on it. Just do it, Phil.
I don't have to...
And welcome to the world of Phil Hendry.
All right, so we parenthetically...
Yes, we did. Well, we were going to do it better, but your commentary made it seem, you asking the question, of course, as usual, Phil, has weakened the entire event, and...
Well, there's a bit of a stink coming off of it.
Yes, there's a bit of a smell coming off of it now.
Yeah, Michael, it was good, you know.
Well, I don't understand the whole thing with...
What don't you understand?
She's saying, welcome to the world of Phil Hendry. I'm Phil Hendry, and everything like that. And again, welcome to the world of Phil Hendry.
Yes, and again, welcome to the world of Phil. So that it is parenthetic. You know what I mean by parenthetic, don't you?
I know what you mean, Margaret. I just don't understand the need for it, I guess.
Well, there probably wasn't a need. There might have been a need. But for you to sit there and go, I don't understand. You're sitting in the middle of what could very well be, Phil, a grand and beautiful stage for yourself, and you're sitting like you're in a diaper. You're sitting and messing a diaper.
Well, you understand that what...
General, you know, you're messing your diaper.
Yeah, you're sitting on the stage in what could be a golden moment. Investigate.
Yeah, like you're at the Emmys.
But hold on for a minute. What are you... I don't even know what you guys are saying. And you can explain this until the end of time. I don't know what you're saying.
And we're explaining it to you.
Yeah, Phil, if you were sitting at the Emmy Awards and you were sitting in your diaper and messing it and going, ee, wah, wah, how does it... What's a baby sound like?
Well, babies go goo goo gaga or something like that.
Yeah, it's like blah blah.
Yeah, so if I'm a baby and I'm sitting on the stage, I go goo goo, ah, and I let one go and stink the whole joint out in my diaper.
That's somehow what I'm hearing is that's what I'm doing.
Yes, that's what you're doing. Just let it happen. When you don't let it happen, when you must comment on it, you are sitting on the golden stage of life as if you're at the Emmys and you're messing a diaper.
Yeah, pretty much, Mr. Hendry.
You're messing the diaper.
Well, I apologize, folks, for sitting here as if I'm on the golden stage of life, the Emmys, and I'm messing my diaper. Because apparently...
And by the way, don't ask the audience for...
Yeah, you're sitting there, you're asking the audience for sympathy. The audience is on our side. Because they just saw you mess the diaper.
Yeah, my God, well, messing all over me, man.
Yeah, might as well be messing all over us.
Why don't you guys knock it off, okay? I heard it the first time.
Oh, for God's sake.
Phil... I just heard it the first time. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen, and,
You know, we're going to get into some of the Emmy discussion. That's why we thought we'd bring that up, because that's a very big stage.
The Emmys is a very big stage, yeah. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with you. It doesn't have anything to do with... other than the fact that we like to watch TV.
Oh, you do? What's your favorite show on television?
My favorite show on television...
Well, what about that Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
No, I don't watch that show on TV. I watch... My favorite stuff on TV is all Investigation Discovery. Well, Drunk History.
No, Drunk History, man. They were nominated.
Yeah, well, they didn't win, as far as I know. And that's a shame, but hey, you know, I'm biased.
Now, Drunk History didn't win, but you know what won was Veep, and I think that Veep is a good show. It's got Julia Louise Dreyfus. I don't know anything about...
Yeah, I don't know anything about that show.
What about the big show that they were talking about, the... Amy Schumer, doesn't she win anything?
I don't know. We're going to have Doug Danger on. He's going to give us the whole lowdown.
Well, who won the comedy? What was that? Because they were talking about the comedy.
Yeah, it was not the Modern Family one, though.
No, it was Veep. Veep won Best Comedy. And I guess there was an award given. Oh, Transparent, that's it.
Oh, that's the one with the transgender man.
Yeah, that was the one. And Marilyn Donnelly is going to be on our program. Marilyn is a transgender woman who has been commenting very, very briefly, but and sort of sporadically on our program about different things having to do with transgender issues. But we thought we would get her on the air tonight to discuss some of this. And I think she's on line two right now. But
yeah, Donnelly? Ms. Donnelly? Oh, is this Mr. Dozier? Yeah. Are you a woman or a man? Are you a woman or a man?
Give me the phone, would you please? Give me the phone. Hi, Ms. Donnelly. It's Vernon. Okay, I'm sorry, Vernon. We're talking to... Here.
Yeah, Mr. Dozier, are you a woman or a man? I mean, not you, but give me the phone.
Ms. Donnelly, yes. Ms. Donnelly, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Ms. Donnelly, thank you for joining us. What do you think about Transparency getting these awards for best dramedy, best series, or whatever the hell it won for?
Well, that is a very good question. I don't know what it won for. Did it win for the best dramedy, or did it win for, is there such a category?
What is a dramedy?
Dramedy is best comedy, but it does have dramatic moments.
Yes, that was my understanding of it. Well, I think if it's a funny program, then I think it deserves it. If it's not a funny program, then it obviously doesn't deserve it. I'm not holding my breath for any new television programs having to do with transgender people. I personally think that television deals with gay and transgender people the way many television programs dealt with black empowerment or African-American people. I think a lot of that was blackface humor. And I think the gay people and transgender people are subjected to the same kind of blackface humor.
What do you mean by blackface humor? You talk about, like, the Amos and Andy?
Yeah, I'm talking about Amos and Andy was offensive.
Yes, Amos and Andy was very offensive to black people.
Are you saying that these comedies for the gays and the transgender such as yourself, they're offensive?
I think they are. I think this clownish representation of this program, Transparent, is a clownish representation that is nothing more than the transgender version of a mincing and swishing queen or queer, to use the word.
Well, now, don't you think, though, that this is a very, very long way, that this represents a gigantic stride in the way that Hollywood is perceiving and dealing with different characters?
I don't think it will represent a gigantic stride until they take transgender people, gay people, and so forth out of the realm of the clown. Take us out of the jester's court, take the bell out of our hand, take the big red nose off our nose, the bells off our feet, take the funny-looking hat with the bells on it, take that off our heads, take the multicolored and striped pants off of our...
I think we get the point, Ms. Donnelly.
I'm not finished. I want to very clearly articulate this.
Yes, but we understand what you're saying.
Well, you may understand, but I don't know if your listeners understand. Transgender people and gay people must be treated, when it comes to the issues of empowerment for us, the same way that African Americans have finally been treated and Hispanic people have finally been treated. Take the striped pants, the hat with the bells, the little turned-up pointy shoes with the bells, the jester nose, the funny-looking face paint. Take the tiny little bodies that you've squeezed us into and give us the normal bodies that are transgender. Of course, unless you have a transgender little person. And then you have a whole other area of hell to inhabit. And I don't envy those people.
All right, we're talking here with Marilyn Donnelly, who is a transgender person. She is a woman.
I'm a woman, Mr. Hendry.
All right, thank you.
But you were a man. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's true. That's not the big revelation. You say it in a very strident tone, as if you've uncovered something.
No, I don't think I've uncovered, but I think it's very interesting for the audience to know that you're a woman now, but at one time you were a man. Isn't that true, or is it not?
Yes, it's true. There's nothing really all that shocking.
It's not that shocking, General. You're not getting her to admit something really ooh, you know.
I'm not trying to get her to admit anything that's ooh.
No, but I don't think the General is think he's involved in an expose, but you certainly don't need to ask the question in such an accusatory fashion. You were a man. Yes, I was a man at one time.
And do you mind telling us what you did?
Yes, I operated a hardware store.
Get a hardware store? Do you still have the hardware store, yes or no?
Say, what is this, anyway?
Don't ask these questions yes or no, you guys, okay?
Well, we're very interested.
You want to get to the bottom of it.
What do you want to get to the bottom of?
You used to be a man, and...
Yes, she used to be a man, and yes, she still runs her hardware store, don't you, Marilyn?
Yes, I do. It used to be called Johnny's Hardware, and now it's called Marilyn's Hardware. And...
But your name used to be Johnny.
No, my name used to be Marty. But when I operated the hardware store at that time, it was owned by a guy named Johnny.
And you bought it?
I bought it as Marty, and it didn't become Marty's Hardware, it became Marilyn's Hardware, because I knew that I was pre-surgical and that I would be eventually Marilyn. Donnelly, and that's what it's become.
Okay, so it's now Marilyn's Hardware.
No, well, actually, it's Marilyn Donnelly's Hardware.
Marilyn Donnelly's, all right. All right, so but so you're still in the hardware business.
I'm not in the business any longer. Mostly, I would say that my younger brother, who was involved in it with me at the time, has taken over the business. I simply come in and look at receipts and check the balance sheet, that kind of thing.
So you're not actively working at the store?
No, I'm not.
But it's your income?
It's not my prime income, no.
All right, so it's safe to say that...
You didn't answer my question.
I didn't answer your question?
You didn't answer his... What are you doing now?
Oh, what am I doing now? No, now I'm writing, I'm lecturing, I'm touring, I'm getting more and more involved in advocacy on behalf of transgender people.
Talking to Marilyn Donnelly here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show about last night's Emmy Awards and the winner being Transparent, which is the... it's the Amazon show. Isn't it the Amazon show, Margaret?
Yes, this is Amazon's big bust-out show. And I've got to tell you that it is quite the feather in the cap of Amazon. There's no question about that at all. Amazon, as you know, as they very accurately pointed out in much of the literature that was written about it, Amazon at one time was a bookstore. But it's not a bookstore no more. It's not a bookstore anymore. It is now the producer of a great many wonderful programs, and one of them, of course, is Transparent. Jill Soloway, by the way, also won her first Emmy for directing and echoed Jeffrey Tambor's sentiments when he won, when she said, "We don't have a trans tipping point yet. We have a trans civil rights problem." And I think that's a very, very... What do you mean, well, what?
I don't know. Just got a guy just won.
Yeah, the guy just won an Emmy. I mean, what do you want?
Well, a real transgender person did not win the Emmy, and that's, I think, the point of what Marilyn's saying.
All right. Marilyn Donnelly is our guest, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. I want to get over to traffic right now. I got Bob Bakian on watch route, the traffic out there. Hey, Bob, how's it looking?
Hey, Phil, I tell you, if you can't call trans anything, I'll tell you, without that good day, it'd be transaction. You don't need trans am going down. If I was transsexual, I'll tell you right now, what I'd be doing is I'd get into my skirt, my high heels, and try to get over and take a bus, because there's no way in hell, whether you're a straight, gay, whether you're LGBT, whether you have a, you know, you got one because swinging meat, 9 pounds of swinging meat is what they used to say about me. All right, Bob Bakian, I'm trying to count there, and we're going to see the countdown up the 16 three-wheel, side five, high five, high five. Bob Bakian traffic.
All right, world famous Phil Hendry. Yes, Margaret.
Can we back up for a moment because I heard something that I was not appreciative of?
Okay, let me, first of all, thank you very much, Bob Bakian, here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, so.
Yes, can we back up?
No. What do you want to back up for?
I heard something that I didn't like.
I'm going to get Ms. Donnelly back on the phone with us, if you don't mind. Marilyn Donnelly on the line with us. Marilyn, you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Did I hear Bob Bakian say that 9 pounds of...
Oh, yeah, I did. Yes, I did.
I heard that as well. I was just...
9 pounds of what?
Well, do you want me to say it here?
Use the Margaret Bumble.
I'll use the Margaret Bumble. Bob Bakian said, I'm up here flying around 9 pounds of swinging meat.
9 pounds of what? What was it?
9 pounds of swinging meat.
Get Bob back on the line, will you please?
Yes, sir. Bob Bakian, Bob Bakian, Bob Bakian, Bob Bakian. There he is right there. Go ahead.
No, Bob Bakian.
Bob, Margaret thought she heard you say your nickname is 9 pounds of swinging meat.
I'm good to that's what they talk about. And they've got town.
Hello?
I heard that as well. This is Marilyn Donnelly.
Okay, Bob, thanks very much, okay?
Phil, right pops here. Look, I'm 9 pounds swinging meat.
Okay, so what's the problem?
What is the problem? I think that is about as vulgar and crude a thing as a man could say. And
well, if I could jump in, Margaret.
Go ahead.
Phil, I believe that's a reference to the fact that I'm a guest of yours on your program this morning, that because I have undergone transgender surgery, he wanted to emphasize the fact that he has, quote, 9 pounds of swinging meat.
Well, look, then, first of all, the likelihood that Bakian's got 9 pounds of swinging meat is slim to none. I don't know why I believe that. I don't have any personal knowledge of it. You know, what are you looking at?
Well, God, man.
All right, we don't need your jokes now, bud.
No, I'm not doing a joke.
Well, then don't stare at me like that. Like what?
Well, I'm just going to figure it out.
Oh, General, let's take your word for it.
We'll take your word for it, okay.
All right, so what I'm saying is, I don't think that there's any big... issue there, other than the fact that he's a vulgar jackass.
Well, maybe, but I think the timing of it was quite wrong. And it isn't anything that I appreciate at this particular juncture in your program, Phil.
All right. Bob Bakian will be talked to and dealt with at a later date. I don't know whether he meant the joke or not.
Bob is always coming up with these phrases. He does traffic, and as you know, traffic people always come up with phrases. There is the Sky Lord, who used to be on, you know, Phil?
The Sky Lord, who was on KLOS and KABC here locally. Eye in the Sky.
They used to have the KFI in the Sky. Remember that?
Yeah. Mike Nolan, who was a KFI in the Sky, and some other Bruce Wayne, the late, great Bruce Wayne. Now, I don't know what Bob... what do you think, Bud?
I think it's his way of trying to position Bob Bakian traffic. Say it's Bob Bakian traffic with a 9 pounds of swinging meat.
Well, I don't buy that, because all of a sudden he's saying that now.
That's what's suspicious about it. He breaks that out on the one morning that we have Marilyn Donnelly on to talk about transparent, and the fact that Marilyn is transgender.
I don't know. We can get Bob on the line and find out, but I don't want to make an issue out of it. Marilyn, overall, though, you think this is a positive, the Emmy is positive for transgender people, and you heard the comment, transgender civil rights?
No, I don't, because I said the idea that we are the object of buffoon humor, that we're the object of a sort of blackface humor, and you just heard it there with your traffic man, the 9 pounds of swinging meat, which I consider to be a direct shot at the transgender people, and myself particularly, on the morning after an award show that was highlighting transgender people. That's why I don't think it's a... I do not believe it to be a positive thing at all. I think we're still treated like clowns. We're still treated as if we're the court jesters.
Well, you know, if I may be so bold, I think that Mr. Bakian is guilty of crude and rude and lewd, and he's boo-hoo, you know, is what I'd say.
He should be booed.
He should, there you go, he should be booed. But whether or not he was trying to take a shot at the civil liberties of the transgender people.
I mean, we could get Bob on here, but I don't want to. I don't want to encourage him. I want to talk to him first before we even get into that. And frankly, Bob is a very difficult guy to talk to, if you want to be right, get right down to it. I can't understand a word that guy says, and it's you know, I'm just telling you, it's very difficult to understand him. All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show, thank you very much, Marilyn Donnelly, and the very, very best to you, and I hope that we can call upon your commentary in the future.
It would be my pleasure, Phil, but again, I think you need to speak candidly to your traffic man, whether you're going to do it on the air or not. Speak very candidly. To say 9 pounds of swinging meat, and that is some kind of...
Shh,
Bud.
Yeah, but that's what his nickname's gonna be.
All right,
Well, you're saying that he's going to have a nickname of 9 pounds of swinging meat because someone else calls himself Sky Lord and someone else says that it's KFI in the Sky. I don't...
Yeah, I was gonna say, Bob Bakian, 9 pounds of swinging meat.
No, that is asinine, and for you to believe that makes me think that you're even stupider and... God, are you stupid?
Let's not make fun of a young man here who obviously has serious brain damage.
Ma'am, I do not have no brain damage. I got a muscular damage.
He rammed his head through a tree, but there's no brain damage. He has some nerve damage.
All right, you call it nerve damage. I call it a severe mental dysfunction. But call it nerve damage if you want, okay? Hey, I have nerve damage. I, walk around like an ogre, and I have a 12-year-old brain.
No, that's not Buddy. He doesn't have a 12-year-old brain.
No, I have no 12-year-old brain. Okay, but I'm not the one saying that I've got the 9 pound of swinging meat, okay?
9 pounds, not 9 pounds. That's what I'm worried about.
All right, Marilyn, thank you very much. We're going to let you go, and I'll deal with Bob Bakian when I deal with Bob Bakian.
Let's keep in mind, you call yourself Sky Lord, that's one thing. You call yourself 9 pounds of swinging...
All right, thank you very much, Marilyn Donnelly.
You cut her off, Phil, and I don't know that that's...
I did not cut her off. I said goodbye to her two or three times, all right?
You said goodbye to her, you know, two or three times. I didn't hear her acknowledge it, but that's okay.
Yeah, but sorry, I mean, let's get down to this. If a guy calls himself 9 pounds of swinging meat...
Hold on. Get Bob Bakian back on.
Yeah, but Bob Bakian's going to butcher it all alive.
Get him back on, okay?
Yes, sir. Bob Bakian. Come in, Bob Bakian. Yeah, Bob? Yeah, I'll put you on. Don't want to talk about it.
I can tell by your...
Don't want to talk about it, yeah.
Until Bob Bakian, Bob Shane.
Hey, Bob, the 9 pounds of swinging meat, so you said to me that that is now going to be...
No, the 9 pounds of swinging meat. I got Eye in the Sky, I've got Bob Sands, Bob Gavin, and I'm a Skylord Pay.
All right, so you're going to be signing off with that?
I'm signing off, right, yeah.
All right, give me an example of what you're going to be doing.
I would give you an example. I'm swinging down 405 Freeway, look at the house, this lady down, and it looks like they put the hammer down there, also up the 110 Freeway, the high sign. We're going to have that problem, the problem up there at the Foothill Freeway. The mountains are crumbling to the sea, and the mountains going downtown, and I'm not going to buy it. Bob Bacon, 9 pounds of swinging meat.
All right, Bob, very good.
Are you Bob Bacon?
Okay, thank you.
Good friend, waiting.
Bob Bacon with...
And you buy that.
No, I don't buy it, but I don't know what else I am. I don't know what else I can do. We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com. Yeah. 18 years she got. Phil Hendry, 9 pounds of swinging meat. Not somebody paying child support for one of his. You're gonna put me down. You're the guy. You're not dealing with it very well. I'll tell you that much. Congratulations to everybody winning their Emmys, and congratulations to Mr. Tambor and to all the people associated with the TV show Transparent.
That just shows about a lady being a guy.
It's about transgender people, okay? Hey, get
fucked up, drink a baby.
Smoke a little bit, pop a little bit. Hey, get fucked up. We ain't doing much, trying to have a good time. Got
is that a Lupe Fiasco? Because
no, that is K-Camp. Why'd you say Lupe Fiasco?
It sounds like, sounded like Lupe Fiasco.
You gotta download a new version of iTunes?
Not now, I don't know, man. Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. So... we went to the podcast festival.
Now, how was that? I heard that...
Well, we went in there. You know, we didn't really promote it all that well, I don't think, because we had, a, shall we say, a thin response there, man.
Well, how do you know it isn't... Well...
Yeah, how do you know that people just, you know, think that maybe you blow... You know, you blow...
yeah, you could... Yeah, that I blow.
Well, not just blow, but I meant to say blow, or, you know...
Probably in a barnyard.
Yeah, you're blowing in a barn. You spend most of your time blowing in a barnyard. Now, I know, Phil...
Are you trying to be funny, General?
No, I am not trying to be funny. But I'm just trying to lay it out there.
Yeah, you're trying to be funny.
What? No, I am not trying to be funny.
Yes, you are. Maybe it's because you spend most of your time blowing in a barnyard, Phil. That's you're not trying to be funny.
I'm trying to be accurate and specific.
Yeah, but Sammy, I'm not trying to be specific. On what's going on with the show.
Are you telling me that this show blows in a barnyard?
I'm saying that, no, I don't. I don't. I think it's a good show. But I'm saying that maybe people think it do.
What about that?
Well, that doesn't make any sense, man. We're getting more and more and more downloads every week. We're getting more and more and more people into the show. I'll tell you what I think it was. I think it's A, the fact that it was in L.A., very specific place. B.
Yes, but you have a lot of fans in Los Angeles.
B, the fact that I didn't really promote this all that much. And also, I don't think the podcast festival promoted us. You know, we were kind of half-assed doing it. We read the spot, and there's a million other things. We were there on a Saturday at 2 o'clock. Fuck, I don't know, man, you know?
Yeah, but sir, I think a lot of people think of you like a radio guy.
What about that, Phil? I think a lot of people see you as a radio artist and not a podcaster, you know?
Well, they're going to have to start looking at me as a podcaster.
All right, but I mean, you can't get pissed off, Finn.
I'm not pissed off. I'm just saying that it was not the turnout that I expected. But hey, I mean, that's my fault. That's my problem, you know. My fault. First of all, unrealistic expectations.
And what the general said there, but you spend all of your time blowing in a barnyard. What does that mean, General?
I'm trying...
You were trying to be funny.
All right, yes, but I wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to
find an adequate way to describe it.
Yes, that's it.
And you think that... excuse me, Phil, I've got this. And you think saying that Phil does all of his blowing in a barnyard is adequate?
Well, I mean,
if you guys think the show sucks, why don't you just get off it and not work on it?
I don't think the show sucks. I'm saying that some people probably thought it was a barnyard blow. God, man.
Would you shut your filthy...
Took a swing at me.
Come on, Margaret. Don't do that anymore, all right?
I'm not going to sit here and listen to him say it was a barnyard blow. It's enough to listen to the old man here. Excuse me, General.
Quite all right.
It's enough to listen to the old man here saying, I hear you do all your blowing in a barnyard. If anyone said that to me, they'd die. They would die as quickly as anything. As quick as the wind out of a duck's ass. That's how quick they'd leave this life.
Jesus H. Christ.
Well, that's it.
All right. Well, I'm not that kind of a guy, all right? I'm not that kind of a guy.
I'm the same as you. Won't be a chump change.
Yeah.
Oh, look at guys. Don't piss me off, okay? It's been a long weekend. You know, but here's the thing. I did not plan all that well for that. I did not, honestly, I did not plan all that well for the podcast event. We didn't do a whole lot of promotion of it. We weren't even sure we were going to be able to show up, because I'll tell you what happened was, the equipment that we carry with, or the equipment we have carried with us to personal appearances in the past, it's a lot of equipment, and we were not prepared to bring our stuff all the way down to the hotel there in Beverly Hills. So we were, you know, back and forth on this thing.
Well, then that's why the people, they can sense that, and they're not going to waste their time.
All right, well, maybe that's it.
Well, I don't know, Phil. That seems ridiculous. Why would you not? You're promoting it.
I know, but I've always been on the fence a little bit about doing this show live. I you know, we have another live show that we're working on. I'll tell you one thing, and I told Lauren this. I said, I got to work on my live presentation, something that is above and beyond the the radio show, and we've been working on the one-man show. Now here is a thing, I just got this invitation from our good personal friend Lionel in New York. You know
what's he doing?
Lionel's doing a show. He's doing a show at the Cutting Room, and Lionel is going to be at the Cutting Room. Anybody, you guys know Lionel?
Yeah, I remember Lionel, man. I've heard him on in Tampa and everything.
Yeah, down in he's on in New York and everything like that.
Yes, well, Lionel has a show. And it's going to be on November the 7th at 7:30 at the Cutting Room, and that is in New York. And I just got an invitation, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I think we ought to go, you know?
Well, I'm not going to be going to New York. I can't. I've got all kinds of things going here.
When is it, Phil?
It's in November. It's in November, November the 7th. Maybe I'll go with Lauren. And I think that's going to be out of sight, man. More upcoming shows, Private and Johnny A. September Resident. What the hell is this?
Those are other shows.
Yes, here's Grand Funk Railroad.
That ain't Grand Funk Railroad. Give a Funk featuring George Portner. Porter and the Bonorama Horns. Out of sight. So anyway, it's Lionel at the Cutting Room in New York, 7:30. Doors open at 6:30, Saturday, November the 7th. That's going to be out of sight. And it's a $20 food drink minimum. Tickets advance $30. 35 day of the show, $25 food drink minimum. God, see, that's the thing. Lionel, man, it's charging some serious cash. How many people did get in the Cutting Room?
Well, I don't know, but I would imagine it probably is probably about 100 people, the same as, what is it?
As the, 100 people is the improv in Hollywood.
Yeah, I think you ought to charge more money the next time you do that.
Well, it's not up to me, man. So the next show that we're going to do is at the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and that's going to be in January. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've made up my mind that this will be the third Sketch Fest that we do, and we're going to get the live show tightened down or let no one come back alive.
Well, you have made this statement because of what? Because of the podcast?
Yeah, because you don't like what you do on the podcast.
I just didn't dig the fact that I went into this thing without a really... I'm going into these live podcast things without really... I'm halfway between doing the podcast, the live show. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. Did they want to see me doing a podcast? I don't have the equipment. I don't know, man. So, When we come back doing the Sketch Fest, Jack, it'll be tighter than ever before. Let me just put it that way.
Well, Phil, that's what it was supposed to be, and it is,
okay? We'll be right back with the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Bobby and Steve Dooley on Steve's sister has just gotten married, and we're going to talk about the in-laws, and Bobby, I guess, ran afoul, or...
Bobby is having an in-law situation. We're going to talk with Bobby Dooley about that. And then Doug Danger on Who's Hot, Who's Not, Who Won, Who Lost at the Emmys last night.
World famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back.
Shit. What is that about?
Never mind.
Hey, buddy, this is Bud Dickman reminding you, if you want to get a backstage pass, you want to contribute to the show and help our show continue on and be as great and as bitchin' as it is, and it is, too, and it's bitchin'er than most podcasts, you can do that at philhenryshow.com. So donate to the show and get a subscription to Phil Hendry Show.
What is this, donate to the show?
Just shut up, Phil.
Yeah, and anyway, donate to the show.
What is that about? What is that about?
That is what people who do podcasts say, donate to the show. That kind of a thing. You're going to do a lot better, Phil, instead of saying, hey.
Yeah, Phil, you're sitting there, hey, subscribe to us because our stuff doesn't smell.
Are you out of your mind or something?
I don't say that. I don't say that at all.
Well, you've got to start putting it in terms of people like, hey, donate. You know, you can donate to the show.
Yes, contribute to the show and get a subscription, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because that's way better.
I mean, that's what I do, Miss Irving. All right, fine. Donate to the show.
Oh, well, hey, aren't you just so magnanimous?
Well, don't sound like you've got a pole wedged, jammed, then twisted, then wedged yet again. Act as if somebody went ahead and decided to lube it up and get it out of there. Now, what we're saying...
I don't understand a word you're saying.
What we're saying is, you say, donate to the show. Just like, if you go over to the Mark... what's the guy's name? Is this guy Moron?
It's not... It's Mark Maron. Don't be funny. Mark Maron.
I'm sorry. Mark Maron. He said he's a wonderful podcaster.
Mark is a great comic, a great podcaster, a great author. It's a lot of things he does.
All right, so Mark, he says on his website, if you want to donate Mark Maron show.
All right, I mean, I've just never done that, okay?
Are you too good for it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about, Mr. Hank.
No, I'm not too good for it.
Well, then do it.
Please donate to the Phil Hendry Show. Buy a subscription to our website. Thank you very much.
Man, that was pretty weak ass, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us, actually driving from, just coming back from Bobby's, I gotta get the story right here, Bobby, and I know that you're with us. What are we talking about? Your in-law?
No, Phil, we're talking about Steve's sister's brother, husband, I mean. So it would be Steve's brother-in-law.
All right, and your brother-in-law?
Yes, by marriage, my brother-in-law, yeah.
And you had a problem?
Well, I don't think we had a problem, Steve.
Oh, I would talk to Mr. Henry separately about it.
All right, my husband, I understand Stephen is a little bit angry.
Well, you tell us about it, dear.
Well, I was having, helping with some of the preparation for our dinner tonight. And I was talking to Carolyn, who is Steve's sister. And I was cutting some of the sharp cheddar cheese. Now, sometimes I get my words mixed up, as we all do. I don't think anyone, I don't think this is new for anyone, but I said, do you want me to lay out, do you want me to splay out? And I use the word splay because what I mean by splay is to fan out the slices of the sharp cheddar Chaz is what I said.
Yeah, that's his name.
I know that, Steve. I'm trying to tell everyone.
Now, tell me again. You fan that out?
Yes, what I do, I like to cut up slices of the cheddar Chaz. I'm sorry. I've got such a mental block on this. I like to cut up slices of the cheddar cheese.
Sharp cheddar cheese.
Sharp cheddar cheese. Sharp cheddar cheese.
Well, you know, these are like these tongue twisters.
That's exactly what I told Steve. I said it's a tongue twister. Did you hear the general?
I don't know.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it, Phil?
Yeah, sharp cheddar cheese, I guess, could be for some people. I mean, the one that I get, and it's one that is invented to screw people up, which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches?
Yeah, that's a tough one, too. Which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches? Well, see, I almost got it.
What's that one?
All right, are we going to be doing tongue twisters? Are we getting to this problem?
No, we're going to get to the problem. But the tongue twister is rich Swiss.
Yeah, no, it's a tongue twister.
The tongue twister is rich. Which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches?
Which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches? Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, you almost did it.
You almost had it there, General.
Right, well, so that's what I said, Steve. Mr. Hendry and everyone says it's a tongue twister.
I don't think it's a tongue twister. You talk about my brother-in-law.
So anyway...
All right, so I take it you're having a problem on this.
We are having a problem. I said to Carolyn, do you want me to splay out and fan out the sharp cheddar Chaz? And she said, the what? I said, I'm sorry, I have a hard time with that. I said, the sharp cheddar Chaz... And I said, I'm sorry, I have a hard time. She said, you're doing that on purpose. And that's when Steve, my husband, took sides against me with his sister-in-law.
No, I didn't, honey.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not. I said, Mr. Henry, I said to her, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. And
okay, guys, let's not do this, all right?
I'm sorry.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. But the point is that you think that she was doing it on purpose?
I don't know if she's doing it on purpose, but she wasn't trying hard enough to try and make it sound better, you know? She wasn't trying hard enough.
I was trying. I said, and I did say sharp cheddar cheese.
Yeah, she did a couple times, but then she went back to right in the middle of dinner. She said, Chaz, have you had the sharp cheddar? Have you had the sharp cheddar, Chaz? And I saw him look disappointed. I saw he looked hurt. He cast his eyes down in his soup. You see, Chaz is a, first of all, Asian-American. He is a Chinese-American, and we're working very hard at accepting him into the family. My family is very racially biased.
Yes, exactly, and my family is not.
Oh, my God, yeah, not much. Wow, there's a funny one.
And my family is not racially biased. Steve's family is very racially biased. Steve's family is a lot of...
Don't say it, honey.
I'm not going to say it, but your family is sort of rural.
All right, I'll give you rural, you know.
So, all right, so Steve, well, I'll say it, and I don't mind saying it. Your family's white trash, isn't it, Dooley?
Yes, Steve.
Oh, man, I'm...
Yeah, well, that's what you said yourself.
Steve, at certain points, you've referred to your mother as being a little hicky.
Yeah, my family's hicky, but what I asked of Bobby was to make an effort tonight.
I did, Steve, and the fact is I have a very difficult time with the tongue twisters, okay?
She does this on purpose.
No, I got to tell you something, Steve. I've heard you and I've heard Bobby, but it's especially you, having a difficult time with certain words in the past. Now, Bobby is saying that she said the sharp chider Chaz and all this. Am I right in saying that the offense was taken because his name is Chaz?
Yes, Chaz Chang. That is Caroline's married name, Caroline Chang, Caroline Dooley Chang. Her husband's a wonderful man. He works at UCLA in computer science and helps assisting in some of the classes.
Well, there's a stereotype for you.
That's what I said, you know. Bobby's all, oh, wow, computer science, you know.
Yeah, there's your stereotype. There's your racial stereotype.
What do you mean racial stereotype?
Most of your Chinese Americans and Chinese are in computer sciences.
Well, is that bad? It's not like saying they're picking cotton or something. My God.
Yeah, see, that's the racism.
Hey, Steve, just knock it off for a second, okay, so we can get to this.
Yeah, you're racially profiling.
Yeah, that's what it is, man, racial profiling. You see, a Chinese guy. Hey, man, are you Chinese? Yeah. Remember that one guy?
Yeah, we got a friend of ours, Terry Kim, and they go, hey, are you Chinese? He goes, no. They go, well, you look Chinese. How's about fixing my computer? And I'll, ha, ha, ha. He goes, no. And they go, well, you're Chinese, right? He goes, no. And,
well, what was he then, for Christ's sake?
Oh, sorry, he's Cubian. Not Cubian, he's Cubian.
What is Cubian?
He's part Korean and part Cuban.
Yeah. His name's Jerry Kim, his mom's Cuban, and his dad's Korean.
Cubian? Shit.
Descent.
Well, have you heard of that, Steve?
I've never heard of Cubian, though.
All right, okay, get out of here with that bullshit. So anyway... How do we solve the problem?
Well, I apologize to Steve. Steve said that I need to apologize to Chaz. And the traditional way of apologizing to an Asian-American man is to bend on one knee, to kneel on one knee, and to bow. And then to stand up and to turn 360 degrees three times and to bow again. And I said, my God, I'm an American woman.
That is exactly right. I've never heard of such a stupid thing.
That's what the way they do it. I didn't make it up. It's the way they do it.
I've never heard of that either.
Let me ask you something, Dooley. Are you so devoid of pride and love for your wife that you would have her bow and turn around like she's some geisha?
That's the way you got to do it, to apologize to the Chinese people. And I would say...
Yeah, I thought you said this guy's American.
Well, he's Chinese-American.
He's Chinese-American.
He's American.
When you say American, what do you mean?
Is he American or is he not?
He's Chinese-American.
Does he have an American passport? Was he born in America?
Yeah, he was born in America.
Then he's an American.
I thought Donald Trump said that...
Will you forget what Donald Trump said, okay?
Yeah, that was what we were looking at, what Donald Trump said. And he said if a kid is born here, that they can't automatically be.
Donald Trump, first of all, is a... Donald Trump is a new age jackass for the centuries. Donald Trump is talking about any child that comes over the border with an illegal mother and is born here. Was this man, Mr. Chang, was he born here of an illegal mother?
No, his mother came here. She came over here. She came here.
All right, she came here. Was she here illegally?
No, I think she's here legal. So they had a business, everything.
His mother was legal.
All right, then he was born here, and he was, and he's an American.
Okay, what about it?
Then what's with this traditional Chinese dancing stuff?
Well, it's not a dance. It's simply, can I do it, Steve?
Go ahead.
something.
It goes like this, Phil. It goes, no, no, do, 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 clang, clang.
I'll find a clang.
Steve's going to go get the clang. It's not a clang. It's a bell.
I got it.
And what it does, Phil, is it's an essential native dance, not even a native dance, if I would say more of a a native step. And do you have it, honey?
I've got it right here.
All right, so, Phil, if you listen, it goes, do, do. Do you want me to do it?
Grab it.
Yeah, it goes, do, 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 do. You can't hear it, honey.
I'll do it again.
Do. Doodle 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 ding 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 ding.
And then she turned 360 degrees, and she turned 360 degrees. And does that?
Okay, I see. So she rotates.
Oh man,
that was uncalled for,
General. All right, hold on. Hey guys, can you turn that radio down or something? Because it's a little distracting.
All right, we'll try and turn it down here. I don't know whether or not you're going to be able. What is that?
God damn it! Are you kidding me or something? I didn't do anything wrong.
Put it over, for Christ's sake. Pull it over.
What did I do? I didn't do anything.
Oh, quit bubbling like a baby. Let's see the driver's license.
He's not a real cop. He's the mouth siren cop.
It's the mouth siren cop.
You're a mouth siren cop. You can't do anything to me.
You hear that? You hear that? I can't do anything to you, huh? See the license.
What was I doing?
You look weird in your car, and you're hitting a gong. I've never seen anything like that before. I've seen a lot of people using their phones, but I've never seen some jackball hitting a gong in his car. Let this be a warning, okay? See you later.
God, I was scary, man.
Yeah, well, the mouth siren cop is scary.
What is the mouth siren cop, for Christ's sake?
Would you watch your language, please?
You're not the host of the show.
Would you watch your language, please?
Wait. All right, now, Ms. Dooley, Steve, this is a problem that we've discussed long enough. Mr. Chang, have you apologized to him?
I apologized. I said, I'm sorry, Chaz. I had cut up some charp, chatter, chop, you know, and I kept on saying it. And he finally started to laugh, and he extended his hand, and he shook my hand, and he said, you know what, this has been all a big misunderstanding. And I said, you got that right. And Steve walked in. And he said, you know what, Charles, Chaz said,
Don't mess it up.
I'm going to say it the way I heard it, Steve. Steve walked in, and he said, you know what, Chaz, you're shaking her hand, and what you should have done is slapped the cheddar cheese out of it. And I said, oh, my God, he just said cheddar cheese. And that's when Chaz said, yes, but he didn't say cheddar cheese. He didn't say cheddar Chaz. And I said, you've got a point there. And I shook his hand again. I said, it's been a big misunderstanding. And he said, you got that right.
Yeah. And then I walked over to shake his hand, and I said, Chang, and that's when he got pissed off.
You called him by his last name.
I didn't mean to. I meant to say Chaz Chang. And I went, Chang Chang?
Yeah, and what happened?
He wouldn't shake my hand or anything. He walked out of the room, said that I have desecrated and and I'd befouled his ancestors and all that shit.
Yeah, see, he is Chinese-American, but when he gets angry at someone, he says, you've befouled his ancestry. And then he stormed out.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure where this... Where have we left this anyway? You know,
I said to you that Steve walked in and said if it was me that he defended, I'd have slapped the chatter Chaz out of his hands. He goes, Chaz? And he said, I'm sorry, I meant to say Chang Chang. And he said, Chang Chang? And that's when he stormed out of the room, even though Steve said it was a big misunderstanding.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, I see. Never mind. All right, thank you very much. We have to get going.
So you do understand, Mr. Henry. Oh, thank Christ.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
Yes, I certainly do. I certainly do. Wait a minute, Henry. Certainly do. Mr. Henry, I thank you very much.
Well, as long as you do, Phil, we feel we've got a friend in you, and thank you so very much.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. I knew you'd see it our way.
Why don't you guys shut up? Are you telling me you understood what that babbling... Those two babbling fools... Why, they sounded like a couple of imbeciles. Like it was feeding time at the human zoo.
I don't know what you're trying to pull, Phil, but I don't like it.
I'm not pulling anything. I'm getting rid of them. Getting rid of them, okay? Chaz Chang. Well, that's the guy's name.
That, my understanding, was his name.
Oh, really? Well, thank you. I'm glad your understanding is that was
Don't
his name.
Don't worry about me.
Yeah, baby.
Don't worry about me.
We're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Monday. God almighty, what a goofy, kooky, wookie, wookie. We got some goofy wookies, Jack.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray. I have some acid reflux, do you?
I have a little bit of acid reflux from the hamburgers tonight.
Those pretty good burgers, Mr. Hendry.
Thank you very much for making hamburgers, Phil.
Well, you're welcome. Made very good hamburgers, barbecued some, I don't want to say.
They were all right.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
Robert Leonard here reminding you to visit our merchandise store, because this week we are spotlighting the Rudy Canosa Jetem Lingerie pink t-shirt, a ladies' pink tee with beautiful hot pink lettering and embroidered, not embroidered, but a logo on it. Yeah, it's the Rudy Canosa Jetem Lingerie hot pink ladies' tee. Pick it up in a Phil Hendry store today, man.
Bud Dickman on the keyboard.
Thank you.
You're not playing the keyboard on this, are you?
Yeah, I am. Dig it.
Yeah, it's real good, man. Only it's Paul McCartney and Kanye West, so.
Oh, it is. That's right.
All right, Doug Danger is going to join us now on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And why? Because guess what? We had some Emmy action going on. Whoa! Yeah. Folks, Doug Danger is back in the newsroom at the Orange County Courier, and he's reporting on tonight's Emmy Awards. Doug, take it away.
Hey, Phil, thank you very much. This is Doug Dang, and I'm going to give you my Doug Danger shorthand here. Doug Dang, I'm a gay man, gay journalist here for the Orange County Courier, and I've been working with the Orange County Courier now, as you know, folks, the last 20 years, as I've been trying to bring to you the color of the pageantry and the beauty of the Emmy Awards and all of the great award shows that have been going on. I'm Doug Dang. Well, Phil, we look at the Emmy, 2015 Emmys. I'm a gay man, gay journal. Took an Emmy, got Viola. Viola Davis, John Hamm, man that got the ham. And he got the canned ham out there. Victory lap for HBO. It is John Hamm, and he wins himself the Emmy at the Madman, the Ham Man, on that victory lap for HBO television. HBO, as they said, was taking a big victory lap tonight with some fantastic. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And so as I sat there and I saw the ham come up, and I said, let me tell you something, man. Are you going to go up there and slam ham? Are you slamming ham tonight? And the Emmy people said, I don't understand how to say. And I said, are you going to slam ham?
You know, you're sounding an awful lot like Bob Bakian.
Well, if I'm sounding like Bob Bakian, I don't mean to. I'm just using the shorthand. I'm saying that.
Well, what do you mean by slamming ham?
I'm saying, if you don't mind, I'll explain it to you. See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And the reason why I say I'm a gay man and gay journalist is because I'm able to cut through all of the phony baloney and get right to the heart of the matter. And what I saw tonight as being, what a night for Transparent, what a night for any of these other shows, is that with a John Hamm on a ham and a ham man, it was going to be slammed, or it was going to be slammed ham or can ham. All right, gay man, gay journalist, Doug Dang.
Hey, Danger, why don't you speak a little bit of English tonight?
I'm speaking English, man. Don't you understand what I mean?
What do you mean by canned ham and slam ham?
All right. Slamming ham is a euphemism for...
I understand what it's a euphemism for. Now, why would you say they're going to slam... Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, get it? Jesus, man.
All right, so you're worried that the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences would not give them the award.
Yeah, hence, they slam ham or they can ham. You're going to slam ham, that means you're going to snub him for the Emmy Award. You're going to can that ham, you're going to put that ham in a can. And that's what I call getting the Emmy. Was it slam ham, can ham? Well, tonight it became slam ham, it was can ham. God damn, I missed that.
You know, I don't understand anything you're saying. Are you trying to... Is this how you write, for God's sake?
Hey, I write a hell of a lot better than you speak, General. Oh! So I'm a gay man.
Look, buddy, don't even go there.
No, I'm going there. I write better than you speak. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? You're a general in the United States Army. You're a warrior. I give you that. When it comes down to this, talking about the entertainment business, talking about being a journalist, talking about the truth, I'm a gay man, gay journal, and I know what I'm talking about coming to Emmy. And tonight they canned a ham. You don't even know what you're talking about, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's the problem.
All right. Next up, Phil, it was Game of Thrones, 4-part limited miniseries. Olive Kitteridge, a triumphant showing. 14 victories, including Best Drum, Best Outstanding Com, Gay Man, Gay Journal. Now, HBO's dominance, the night might be best remembered for a few emotional moments. An impassioned speech, Ms. Davis quoted Harriet Tubman and paid tribute to other African-American actresses like Halle Berry and Gabrielle Union. Let me tell you something, she said. The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there. And so I thought that was important. So they canned a ham, and tonight what they needed to do is can another award for black actresses, gay actors, as well as transgender actors.
All right, so what is your overall read on tonight?
My overall read on tonight was that it was a great night for the people that won, and it was a rotten night for the people that didn't win. That's the way I see it every night, any night, any. I'm sorry. That's the way I see Emmy and me. Shit. That's the way I see Emmy.
Why don't you tell us that you're a gay man and a gay journalist?
That's Phil. That's the way I see it on any Emmy night. That's the way I.
That's the way you see it on any Emmy night.
Yes. The people that had a good night are the winners. The people that had a lousy night are the losers. So I would say. But again, that was a very great speech that was given there by Viola Davis.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't. I'm reading this from the New York Times. I was not there. I apologize, but I was had.
All right.
Phil, you can't just hang up on him.
Yes, I can just hang up on him, because I'm not going to sit here and wait for this guy to start yapping about how he... Doug Danger's Hollywood.
About what?
Yapping about how he wasn't able to make it because he had this, that, or some other job that he had to do. Anyway, the Emmys... The Emmys went off swimmingly. We're sorry that our good friend Derek Waters and the great people at Drunk History did not win. Or maybe they did. Did they win? Get Doug back on the line. Did they win?
No.
All right. Well, then the Emmys sucked as far as I'm concerned. And of course they didn't. And very, very happy, by the way, to see that... did any of my favorite shows win?
Yes, you like Mad Men.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very, very much, Doug. We got to move on because we do have to get at least one more interview in here from Milwaukee. It's Jack Igagdor and Brent Morrison.
Oh, they're going to talk about the Lion game.
Yes, Jack Igagdor and Brent Morrison are going to be on here to talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Lion game yesterday against the Utah Flaming Cavalry. So we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's some shit I'm going to do.
Yeah, don't forget, by the way, the Milwaukee Lions game drops today, man. That drops today. Milwaukee Lions, Utah Flaming Cavalry. And then on Friday, it is Lions Lion with Jack Igagdor, man, only at the Phil Hendry Show website. And WAN Radio, Milwaukee.
Since you said don't do.
Cut it. All right, folks. Let's get back at it right now. We have Jack Igagdor on the line with us from Milwaukee right now, and Brent Morrison is there with him as well. And you guys are about ready to hit the road, or have you already?
Well, no, we haven't hit the road yet, so we're going to be going. We're going to be on our way to San Antonio on Friday, right, Brent?
Yeah, we're going to be at San Antonio on Friday and down there to the San Antonio sand pit.
Right.
Okay, so tell me about the football game yesterday.
Well, it was, I don't know, you want me to tell you what it was?
Yeah, you can go ahead. I mean, we'll warn people. If you haven't seen the game yet, then please don't, you know, listen to this interview.
Well, all right. You mean seen the game?
Listen to the game, I'm sorry.
Right. Well, it was a football game, first of all, and I'm sure Brett would agree, going into the fourth quarter, Phil, the Lions were down 17-3, and we thought it was over. We thought it was just a matter of time before they got buried, and that would be it, and everybody would be flowing out of the stands. What we saw instead was a football team that was coming back.
Yeah, no question about it, Phil. The quarterbacks of the Lions, they changed quarterbacks, by the way.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm sorry to grab the phone from you.
Go ahead.
They changed quarterbacks, a guy by the name of Aaron Floinian.
So they got rid of that Waddle.
Yeah, they got rid of Eric Waddle. They went with Aaron Floinian. And Floinian is a scrambling quarterback and was able to scramble in for one of the two touchdowns that they scored in the fourth quarter.
They came back from 17-3, tied it up, and then we went into overtime. And unfortunately, the Lions were not able to capitalize on a couple of I think they turned the ball over.
Turned the ball over, did the Utah Flaming Cavalry in overtime. Lions had the ball, but they were not able to move it, and that was that.
So it went into OT?
Yeah, it went into OT.
I mean, he's asking me. It went into...
That's my phone. It went into OT.
Look, guys, don't fight over the phone, okay?
Yeah, okay, here.
What?
Don't fight over the phone. Here you have it.
All right. I mean, I'm the play-by-play guy, Brett.
Whatever.
Yeah, you ready for this guy? I mean, I'm the play-by-play guy.
It's my phone, okay?
Hey, Phil, I'm going to call you back on my phone, okay?
Wait a minute. Come.
Are they kidding?
No. Hello? Yeah, it's Mr. Igagdor.
Jack, are you there?
Yeah, who's this?
It's Margaret Gray.
I'm calling for Phil Hendry.
I'm right here. You called the studio.
Oh. Sorry, Margaret, I didn't know.
I wanted to ask you the question here. Now, are you on your phone?
Yeah, it's my phone. God damn, what a baby. Hey, Brent, why don't you shut up before I open up your door and kick you out onto the freeway? Woo! Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, Jack, about the football game. You say that the game was, you did not expect to win. Why was that?
Well, because the Lions have been so traditionally bad, and they've never been a comeback team. They've never been a team what can come back. And they came back in this one. They tied it up with no time left. It was a very dramatic win. It was very, very dramatic the way they tied it up when Flanagan scrambled it in with no time left, and then they went into OT. And unfortunately, Utah got the ball with good field position, and they drove down for the field goal.
The Lions are 1-1. If you take anything away from this game, what would you take away from it that's positive?
Yeah, what's the good news for this football team?
Well, I'd say the good news is that we got a very resourceful quarterback, I think. I like this kid. I like the fact that he can scramble. I like the fact that he can run the football. The other good news is that we continue to have a very strong running game. Wayne Lightouch ran for another 90 yards. He had 151 yards in the opening game against Houston. He ran for almost 100 yards in this game. So he's a very, very good running back. The other good news we have is we got a pretty decent pass rush. So I think it's just a matter of the Lions not making mistakes. They made a lot of mistakes in the football game. And by mistakes, I mean, it wasn't so much the turnovers, although we were turning the ball over in the game twice. There were two interceptions thrown by Flanagan. But it was being a little late to the ball, not being as quick as Utah was. And in the process, we missed an interception. We could have had a ball picked off. And also, we had a fake punt we passed the ball to try to get a first down in overtime, I think it was. And the ball arrived just a little late, batted down by Utah. But for a few inches, as they say, a country was lost.
Well, I don't think that's how it goes.
You know what, Brett? Just leave it to me, okay? What, for a few inches, the country was lost.
All right. So, Jack, next up is the San Antonio Range Riders.
Yeah, next up is the Range Riders. We play them next Sunday in San Antonio at a stadium they call the Sand Pit. We got two stadiums now, and both of them are in Texas. We got the Sweat Pit in Houston and the Sand Pit in San Antonio. So, I'm not even sure.
The Sweat Pit is where?
That's in Houston.
Holy Jesus, you're not looking forward to going down there, I'll bet.
Not really, because when I said, his Sweat Pit, you mean it's just a euphemism, right? They said, no, it is hot, no air conditioning, the place stinks of someone's, excuse me for saying this, Mark, but they said it stinks like somebody's ass crack, you know.
And Jesus.
Yeah, so it's going to be hellish.
All right, Jack Igagner, Brett Morrison, thank you. Where are you guys going now?
We're going over to get some milkshake.
Oh, Brett's all pissed off now. We're going to have a milkshake. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
We're going to go have a milkshake.
You're going to have a milkshake.
Oh, what, is that gay or something?
We're going to go talk about the game. God damn it, man.
Did they hang up on me?
No, they didn't hang up. It looks like we lost it.
All right.
Do you think that's weird?
I don't think it's weird, no. I mean, I don't know what to think about that.
About what?
About Morrison and I gagged her. I said, what are you guys doing? And they said, we're going to go over and we're going to have a milkshake.
Well, I mean, it's probably pretty hot there, too.
These two guys do play-by... Never mind.
Yeah, besides, it's probably hot there in Milwaukee.
It's not about it being hot. It's about them doing play-by-play for a football team, and they're arguing, and they're going over to get a milkshake.
Well, are they getting one or are they getting two? They're probably getting one because they want to save on the expense. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. They're going to get one, and the two of them are going to drink out of a milkshake with two straws.
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks, everybody. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
I don't know what's wrong with it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. I'm Margaret Gray.